Welcome and thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information about our church, visit christislove.org.
Good morning, Christ United. All right, if God's been good to you, give him what he deserves. He has been good to me. Here's the thing. We're in a series called Let's Grow, and it's going to be all about you growing to become who it is that God created you to be, a true follower of Jesus Christ. And so the first thing that raises is the question, who are you living life with? The reality is that who you're living life with kind of is a consuming part of being a human being. It's the reason that shows like Friends and Cheers and the Big Bang Theory, anything that has to do with friendships and relationships, it drives us from the earliest age. Either acceptance or rejection is a huge part of who we are. About as early as we learn how to ride a bike, we are pedaling toward acceptance. We want to be accepted, and we want people to like us, and we are drawn to that in such a huge way. I can remember my first experience was probably no later than my third grade year, might have been my second grade year, when I found acceptance from the older boys, the mature boys, the big boys, the men, the fifth graders. You know what I'm saying? And so the fifth graders were letting me into their club, and it was so cool. It was this club literally dug into the side of a hill, and it was the coolest place ever. And they liked me, and they were letting me be with them, and I just felt like, this is awesome. And in the middle of that, what I ended up doing was I saw my first dirty magazine. I saw my first cigarette. I kept my first big secret from my parents. I had my first big act of vandalism where I threw mud clods at cars. I did all kinds of things, but it wasn't because I was determined to be bad. It was because I was drawn to their acceptance. It would not matter what they were doing. I wanted to be where I was liked, where I was accepted by people that I thought were cool. And then as you get older, in addition to acceptance, you begin to gain common interest. And common interest just kind of bring you together with people. Like, for instance, well, for me, it was horseback riding, then dirt bike riding, then football and baseball, and then hunting and fishing. And those natural interests drew me together with certain people. And you may be thinking, well, wait a minute, this sermon is supposed to be about growing to be a dedicated follower of Christ. Why are we talking about acceptance? And why are we talking about common interest? It's because you gravitate toward acceptance. You gravitate toward people with common interest. And so your relationships develop around that instead of your shared values. And so we will pick our relationships and we'll be drawn into relationships without any consideration for the values that the people that we're in relationship with hold. That's why from the playground to pledging our first fraternity in college, all the way to our retirement, we are drawn toward people that share common interests. We are drawn toward people who accept us, but they may have values very different than ours. And we usually don't even put that into the equation of the relationships that we develop, especially not where they are spiritually. And yet the reality is that according to Henry Cloud, who is a very gifted teacher and writer, and he's a Christian psychiatrist or psychologist, Henry Cloud said this: who you surround yourself with is the biggest determinant of what your life will be like. And that is professionally and personally, he said. I would just add to that also, you can write it in spiritually. It is going to be who you surround yourself with is the biggest determinant about what your life is going to be like, especially spiritually. So here's the thing. Every single week we have people who give their lives to Christ. And today, likely somebody in here will say, this is my day. I'm going to give everything to him. I'm going to become a follower of Christ. If you want to know how I can predict how well somebody's going to do in that new life that they've chosen, after about 3 months, just look around them and ask yourself the question, who are they surrounding themselves with? If they're surrounding themselves with dedicated followers of Christ who are on fire for Him, who are obeying God and honoring Him and in the Word and in prayer and in accountability, they're going to be okay. But if they're still surrounding themselves with people who are far from God, who disregard His will, who are not obedient, who don't care, ultimately, their end is not good. Because here's the truth. It's said in the book of 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company, don't be misled, bad company corrupts good character. The people you surround yourself with. Now, guys, this isn't like rocket science. This isn't some kind of profound mystery. It's pretty much a no-brainer. The reality is that if you walk with someone, you'll end up in the same place they are headed. Now, you know that's a reality physically, right? If I walk with somebody, I'm going to end up where that person that I'm walking with is walking. That makes sense. Well, the reality is, when we say walking with somebody, we mean sharing life with. Whoever I am living life with, sharing life with, I will end up in the same place that they are headed. That's the reason when Jesus wanted to change a life, when He wanted to turn somebody into a what we call a Christian. Christian means a follower of Christ. We messed up that word today, and it's not what it's supposed to be. But when He chose to change somebody's life, to make them a disciple, to create a follower of Christ, to make them the person He created them to be, He would say this: come follow Me. Because if you walk with Him, He said, then I'm going to end up bringing you into the life that you were intended to be. In the same way, if you walk with other people, you're going to end up in the same place they do. And so with that thought in mind, powerful Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says this: whoever walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Whoever walks with the wise grows wise. If you look at a man and he's walking with other wise men, if he's married and he's with married men who are God-honoring men and who respect and honor and cherish their wives, who are faithful, who hold accountability, then he's going to be pretty good. But if he surrounds himself with a bunch of rogues that are constantly chasing skirts, and he's around people who are speaking ill of their wives and they're disregarding them and disrespecting them and not spending time with them, he's down a path that's going to lead him to a bad place. When a woman who's a Christ follower is surrounded by women who honor God and seek Him with all of their hearts, she's going to be on a good path. But she's around women who care more about what they look like and which social circles they're running in or their popularity, then she's in a bad place. When a teenager is in a spot where they're surrounding themselves with young men and women who honor God and honor their parents, who are obedient and respectful and godly and righteous, then they're in a good spot. But if you're surrounding yourself by people who are disrespecting their parents and dishonoring their teachers and becoming something other than, you're going to end up in the same place. It's pretty clear, but here's the reality. If I walk with the wise, I'll grow wise. A companion of fools will suffer harm. What's interesting about that is it's not just that a companion of fools will become a fool, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. So a relationship that just begins because of common interest or because of acceptance, and you get into a relationship with somebody who's a fool, and that beginning of that relationship may seem like it's pretty innocuous, like it's not going to make a big difference. Ultimately, it's not just going to lead to foolish decisions, it's going to lead to pain. You're going to suffer harm. So that means that you're going to suffer in lots of ways. And suffering can be that you're going to suffer physically, you can suffer academically, you can suffer financially, you can suffer relationally, you would suffer emotionally. You're going to suffer as a result of being in that relationship. And here's the thing, you don't have to intend to do bad to actually develop bad relationships. You don't have to intend to do bad. Bad relationships can develop naturally or carelessly. Bad relationships just develop because I have common interests with this person or they accept me. It's just so easy. And therefore, we have to consciously avoid bad relationships. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, he says, don't be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? He's saying you have to consciously avoid relationships with people who are not honoring God and not following Him. In fact, he goes on to say, I don't have it in the slides here, but in verse 17, he actually says we should consciously undo relationships with people who are going away from God and who have no desire to follow Him. He says in verse 17, therefore come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Now, let me tell you right now, if you're thinking about relationships, somebody here is thinking about your spouse, and you're thinking, I married the wrong person, and this person is bad for me, and everything else. I just want to tell you, this sermon is not about marriage, all right? That's a covenant. That's a whole different level, and we'll talk about that. If you want to talk to me privately or any of the other pastors, we'd love to talk to you about that. This sermon is not about marriage. But this sermon is about the relationships in your life that are not covenant commitments of marriage, but they are relationships that are not making you who God created you to be. He's saying you have to consciously avoid those. You even have to consciously exit those when they are relationships that are taking you where you should not be. Now, many people here will think this, and I think the same thing, which is, well, wait a minute, how about Jesus? Jesus was around sinful people a lot. So how does that fit with this idea of come out from them and be separate and consciously avoid them? Jesus didn't avoid sinful people. He actually went to sinful people, ate with them and drank with them. He was careful to be around them. Well, here's the big difference. The thing that Jesus always said is come follow me. The thing he never said was, cool, let's go. I'll follow you. Right? Jesus was constantly inviting people to come and follow Him. I would love for you to be a part of this. I would love for you to join me in this life that we're living, but I'm not. He came to seek and to save what was lost, not to follow the lost into darkness. And so the reality is God's saying to you, if you've got somebody who does not desire, is not seeking, does not want to go where God wants them to go, that relationship is a bad relationship. And you need to consciously avoid those relationships and even consciously exit those relationships. I was talking to a gentleman this week that he's had about a year of just this new life that God has given him in Christ. And he says, I just want to tell you, it works. It works when you make the decision that you're going to cut off the relationships that are seeking to drag you back into your old life. He says, I changed my phone number. I changed my phone number so that the people who wanted to call me up and say, hey, let's go out and get slammed, or hey, how about a hit, or hey, you know, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to have my number. Because I don't want to be in those relationships anymore. And reality is that you and I have to consciously exit those relationships that are taking us away from God, consciously avoid them. Why? Because if you walk with somebody, you're going to end up where they're headed. And when I say where they're headed, that's a very important statement. Because when we talk about where they are headed, it is better to be with the person who's way back down the road, who's headed in the right direction, than somebody who seems to be way down the road but is headed in the wrong direction. And so I would much rather spend time with somebody who's a brand new Christian who hadn't figured it out yet. I've had Christians ask me stuff like, hey man, you know, like, you think God's cool with me smoking weed? You know, it's like they just don't know. You know what I'm saying? They're brand new and they're learning. I would rather be with that person who's desiring to become what God has called them to be and is passionate about their obedience to that. And when they hear it's not God's will, they're ready to quit, than the person who's just the pretty good Christian person. And they're not headed anywhere. All they're headed toward is the complacent American dream with a lifestyle that just says, well, I'm a good person because I don't rape and murder, and so that's all I care about being. They're headed nowhere. I would much rather be with the person who's saying, I'm going to be who Jesus called me to be. I may have a long way to go, but I've just gotten started. I'm on it. And so I always make sure that in the circles that I run in, I always make sure I'm around new believers, because new believers fire me up because they love Jesus and they're passionate about Jesus. They're passionate about obedience. They're doing it right. Old school, complacent Christianity makes you sick. And if you're surrounding yourself with people like that, who feel like the fact that I went to Sunday school my whole life and I go to church, but I really don't have a desire to lay down my life for Jesus, that's a dangerous relationship. And so I want to be in relationships with somebody who is truly passionate about following Jesus. Where are they headed? Well, listen, if the number one determinant in our lives about how our life is going to go is who we surround ourselves with, it's not enough just to say, I want to avoid the bad relationships and disconnect from bad relationships. It's also important that I seek the good ones, right? I've got to get into good relationships. And when it comes to that, good relationships can start naturally, but they grow intentionally. You can start good relationships with people based on just common interest. Young lady, her name is Michelle. She's precious. I love her. She loves Jesus. She's grown so much in the years that I've known her. And she said, you know, one of the first things out the gate for me was I loved arts and music, and there were other Christians who loved arts and music. And as a new follower of Christ, I had a natural connection with people around arts and music. And so that was beautiful. It gave her an in that she started to connect. It's so important that you start getting involved. I mean, it's through doing stuff like just ushering beside somebody else or the homeless ministry they did Saturday. Just get in and begin to do stuff and connect with people. And as you connect with people, naturally you can begin to develop relationships. And if you're a person who's sitting there saying, but I haven't got anybody around me who's a real sold-out Jesus follower, I don't have them, that's all the more reason for you to be extremely intentional about getting out there and developing those relationships. Don't be the person who just lets things gravitate toward acceptance or gravitate toward some common interest. You seek it out. You say, whatever it takes, I'm going to get there. There's a young man named Steve, again, who I've seen grow just so beautifully. And I love watching what God has done in his life over the years. And he said, as a new Christ follower, he said, I had known that Jesus had forgiven me of all my sins. I wanted to follow him. I wanted to do his will. I called my best friend in all the world to tell him I had given my life to Jesus. And I was ever. He told me that he thought the only reason I was going to church was to pick up girls and that I was going to fall harder than I'd ever fallen. And he said, I desperately needed somebody in my life. I needed a good Christian friend who could encourage me, but I didn't have any. And he said, so I began to pray. He said, I felt like the only person I could talk to was Jesus, and I wanted, you know, some people around me. So he said, I prayed that God would give me some Christian friends that would just be people I could live life with. And he said, the next day, a guy from this church called him and said, would you like to go rollerblading? He said, I responded, hell yeah. He's like, he said, I didn't even know saying that was bad. You know what I'm saying? If you're new to this thing, that's not good. That's not what you should say. But he said it. And so his response was, I want to do this thing. You know what I'm saying? And then he all of a sudden realized, I don't know how to rollerblade. I've never rollerbladed in my life. He said, I went to a sports store and picked up rollerblades, you know? And he said, and I started rollerblading with this guy. And he said, that was the beginning of a relationship. And that relationship then had to develop intentionally. Even one that starts naturally, like Michelle's did with her natural connection with music. Or one that starts with intentionality, like Steve's did, where he said, I'm going to go out and buy some rollerblades. You still, if you're going to have a relationship that matters, you've got to be intentional about developing real relationship. I learned this. You can golf with somebody all day long and never talk about anything but the next iron you're going to use to hit your shot. Or who won the game last night, or whatever the case may be. You have to be intentional about saying, I want to actually be in relationship with somebody who's making me more the person I want to be. And so I have to be intentional about being in relationship where we're sharing more than just surface stuff, right? And where we're actually spurring each other on. We're actually challenging each other. We can get each other's back and kick each other's butts. We're going to be in this together, right? And that kind of intentionality is what both Steve and Michelle sought out and found. Both of them, ever since I've known them, have been in life groups. They have been in groups with people. And here's the thing. A life group doesn't mean if you sign up, you're in it for life, if that scares you that way. The reality is, if you get in a life group and it doesn't click and it doesn't connect, then find another one. You can try. By the time you try, we've got about 40 of them. If you try 40 and don't find one, let me know, and we'll look for another one for you. But I want to be in relationship with people that's intentional, and they did it. And they dove into relationships, and they right now are in awesome life groups where they're sharing life together and they're growing with people. And over the years, I'm sure they've had times when things weren't working right, and they had to look for other relationships that helped them to grow, but they were intentional about growing. They're also intentional about accountability and being in relationships with just a few people that they can really get real with and get their life on a whole different level. Are you doing that? Because if you're not, you're not going to become who it is that God calls you to be, because who you surround yourself is the number one determinant of what your life is going to be like. Physically, financially, professionally, spiritually, who are you surrounding yourself with? Well, there are all kinds of opportunities to do it. And those opportunities go from every Monday night, there's a men's group that meets here. Great opportunity to meet some men and develop some relationships every Tuesday morning. And then Tuesday night, again, there are women's groups that meet here. Chance to develop it. There are life groups everywhere. Right back here at 10 o'clock in the back of this building, there's a phenomenal Sunday School Plus group that meets every Sunday morning. There are opportunities on top of opportunities on top of opportunities. But you have to be intentional about getting in those opportunities. You have to be intentional about reaching out and developing those relationships. And so why is this so important? It's so important because it is the number one determinant about what your life is going to be like. And you don't have to be intending to be bad to get in bad relationships. They develop naturally. They happen just almost automatically, carelessly. So you have to be intentional about the idea of saying, I'm going to avoid bad relationships. I'm going to get out of bad relationships. But you also have to be extremely intentional about developing good ones. You got to be saying, I'm going to find right relationship with good people who are going to make me more the person that God wants me to be. And when you do that, that's when you're going to find yourself growing to become all that God has called you to be, because if you walk with somebody, you're going to end up in the same place that they're headed. Find out who to walk with. What does that look like if it's being played out in reality? Because I've seen the opposite of that over and over and over again. So many times, you young guys, I've seen young men and women who just decide with all their hearts, I'm going to follow Jesus. They go on a retreat, or they maybe right here in a worship service say, I want to live it out for Jesus. And then they stay surrounded by people who care nothing about living out God's will for their lives. And before you know it, they're back off onto a path that's far, far, far from God. But then there are people like Zoe. And Zoe is one of my favorite stories, and there's a maxim that comes out of the story that I'm going to share with you. But Zoe was this young lady. I was on a backpacking trip in the mountains of Kentucky with a bunch of youth and college students, and I was in my master's program at the time. And I asked Zoe, why are you here? She said, because I'm just looking to develop some relationships with some really dedicated followers of Jesus. And I want to pour into the lives of some of these young girls. And it was just so cool. You know, she's just like a freshman in college. And then I said, tell me about yourself. And she told me the story. She's dating the dude, the guy that everybody wants to date, the captain of the football team, star guy. And she breaks up with him after dating him for a year and a half or 2 years. And so I said, we're walking down the path through the Red River Gorge of Kentucky. If you've ever been there, it's beautiful. And I'm just kind of watching the back of her boots and just asking the question, you know, like, well, Zoe, tell me, why'd you do it? And she said, well, I decided something a long time ago. She said, I determined that a good relationship is a relationship that makes me more the person I want to be. Let me get to that. A good relationship is one that makes me more the person I want to be, and a bad relationship is one that makes me less the person I want to be. And she said, I just realized this was a bad relationship. It was making me less the person I wanted to be. And I thought in that moment, as she said that on that path, if every single young man, woman, boy, and girl who gave their lives to Jesus just had that one maxim in their life, it could make a huge difference in where they end up. So think about it. I'm calling it the Zoe maxim. But how many people would just leave here today with that one thing in your mind? A good relationship is one that makes me more the person I want to be. A bad relationship is one that makes me less the person I want to be. And if I'm not married to them, I need to get out of it if it's making me less the person I want to be. If I'm married to them, I need to turn it into a relationship that makes me more the person I want to be. But here's what God's saying to you. He's saying, are you in bad relationships that are making you less the person you want to be? Get out. Are you in any good relationships that are making you more the person you want to be? If you're not, get in them. But then you might think to yourself, if you're like me, you might be thinking this. But I'm not Zoe. I'm the antithesis of Joy. I'm the opposite of Zoe. I didn't do what Zoe did. I made just the wrong decisions, and I found myself in a place where I've been around the wrong people, done the wrong things, and I feel like it's kind of like too late for me. I mean, y'all remember when I told you as a little kid, I'm in the club with all the fifth and sixth graders, and oh, how cool it is. I remember going up on that hill with all those mud clods. We have mud clods, and we're waiting for cars to go by, and we're all hurling mud clods trying to hit cars. There's this little dude there. He's the youngest one in the bunch. He's even younger than me, and everybody's throwing their clods, and the good thing is we're such bad shots, nobody's hitting anything. And this one little dude is so afraid that he kind of holds onto his clod a little longer than everybody else, and he finally flips it. And when he flips it, it just comes down perfectly as this car's coming down the road with two college students in it. Car's coming down the road, it's dropping, and sure enough, bam, right into what, as I remember, what would have been the top of that car had it not been a convertible. That's how I remember it. And all I knew was these two boys hopped out of that car. They're college boys, y'all. College boys are scary. And these guys had fire in their eyes. And they come running up the hill. Well, all the friends run, right? And so all the friends are running. And this little dude is running down the path as hard as he can. And he is crying, weeping, moaning, wailing. He knows he's about to lose his life, you know? And as he's doing that, he's got clay all over him. The evidence is everywhere. You know what I'm saying? And he's crying, and mud is actually dripping down his face as he's crying. And as he turns around a corner, running as hard as he can, everybody else has abandoned him. Bam, he runs up into the waist of his big brother. And his big brother stops him, and he starts going, "Oh, my, they're going to kill me." And so he takes his shirt sleeve, big brother does, and wipes all the clay off of his face and wipes the tears from his eyes, and then just turns him around, puts his arms around him, and just holds him and stands there. And you can hear the huffing and puffing of the boys coming down the path, and the two college boys come and stand there right in front of the little boy and his big brother. And again, they've got death sentence in their eyes, and he just looks at the boys, and he goes, "The one you're looking for went that way." And the boys stared at him just a second and then just took off and ran down the path in the other direction. And now this boy is with big brother, and there's this thing that I've just had this opportunity. I've been set free. I'm not going to die. I can go home and tell mama I'm sorry, and I can live my life as a good boy, you know? And he just walks off with big brother. It's just this cool thing. And as I watched that experience in my mind's eye from when I was there as a kid, it occurred to me that there was a point in my life I just did thing after thing after thing after thing that I did because I was accepted, because common interest took us to places, and then it took us farther, and we did all kinds of things. I had so much. I was filthy, dirty, sinful, rotten, nasty. And when I became aware of the fact that if I got what I deserved, it would be worse than a beating, I would lose my life. And when I'm finally at the point where the tears are running down my face, mixing with the mud, and I'm at this place, not as a little kid, but you know, I guess by standards, an adult man, I'm at this place, and I'm just weeping and broken, and I'm feeling like I got to run. I mean, where am I? What am I going to do? I've messed up, and if I get what I deserve, it's horrible, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And somehow, God, in His amazing grace, I'm running, and not physically, but just spiritually, just run right up into the waist of my Father in heaven. And He grabs hold of me, and He wipes the tears from my eyes and wipes the mud from my face. And instead of giving me down the road for all the mud clods I've thrown and all the people I've hurt and all the things that I've done, He just calms me and loves me and forgives me and turns me around and throws His arms around me. And then He made me aware of something. That nearly 2,000 years ago, there was a mob of angry people coming to take somebody away to crucifixion, which should have been me. And as that angry mob came looking for what should have been me, the Father said, "The one you're looking for is over there. And he pointed into a garden where his son Jesus, who had never done anything but love and never done anything but right, was praying, Father, if there's any way, please, I do not want them to come and get me. And the Father sent them to him. And they drug him out of that garden and they beat him and they scourged him, bled, and he died. And he did it willingly. Yet, Father, not my will, but yours be done. If that's what has to happen for Jeff to be loved, I'm there. And he did that. And somehow, as Jesus, I'm thinking, he did that for me. And the response from the Father in heaven is just so amazing. It's like, but look. I'm thinking, how can I thank him? I mean, what can I do? I'm sitting here, I'm so far gone, and I'm such a mess, and yet you've loved me, and you've got your arms around me, and all I can think about him is his beating and his crucifixion and what's happening to Jesus. And I'm thinking, what can I do? And then it becomes clear to me that he didn't stay dead. Because of his perfection and because of his power, he rose from that grave. And here's what the Father told me. He's still alive. And not only can you thank him, you can follow him, man. You can walk with him. You can be in relationship with him. And everything in me said, that's what I want. I want to be in relationship with the one who gave his life for me. I want to have those arms around me now and for all of eternity. And I want to walk with people who want to walk with him. I don't want to go back to the stinking mud hut hole. I don't want to go back to the pornography. I don't want to go back to the putrid, filthy language and the mess that I lived in. I don't want to go back to hurting people and vandalism. And I don't want to go back to that old life. I want to follow him, man. I want to walk with him. I want to live out a life that honors the one who gave me life. And I want to live with people who want that. I want to surround myself with people who are headed that same place. I want to be conscious about getting rid of relationships that don't want to go there. I want to be conscious about the fact that I need to develop relationships with people who want to. And for all the people who are dirty and broken just as I was, I call out with all my heart, come on, come with us. But if you don't want to, I'm not following you into your filth and your darkness. I'm going to follow people who are headed into the light to become who God called them to be. Lord, it's our prayer for everybody in this place that we would be extremely conscious in this moment of the fact that the single greatest determinant of what our lives will be like is who we surround ourselves with. And number one, there's somebody in this place today who needs to be surrounded by you, who has never even made the choice, never even ran up into your arms and felt your love embrace them and felt the tears wipe from their eyes and heard you say that you love them, who has never known that Jesus laid down his life for them personally, who's never felt that depth of gratitude and to this moment never realized that he's still alive and that they can follow him. And so, Lord God, right now for that person, I pray that this will be the day. This will be the day to have the mud wiped from their face and have your arms around them. And this will be the day in which they say, I'm going to follow you forever. I'm going to follow you forever. And for them and for all others who have chosen to follow you, please help us to realize that who we surround ourselves will determine whether or not we walk in your steps and whether or not we follow you. Help us to consciously avoid relationships that take us away from you. Help us to get rid of the ones that are in our lives right now that are drawing us away from your will. And help us to intentionally seek out relationships with people who are headed to the same place we're headed. And that is to be in everything you created us to be. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information, visit us at ChristIsLove.org.